chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Here we're going to look, and this is when Israel is under captivity to the Egyptians, and Moses is going to Pharaoh and telling Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. God's getting ready to deliver his people, and God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and this is the second plague that comes. And so let's read about this. And it says, "And the Lord spake to Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now, I want to talk to you today about tomorrow. Here, Pharaoh has an opportunity. Think about this. The frogs are everywhere, even in their dough that they're making up when they're trying to make up bread. I mean, in their beds, all over them. Frogs are everywhere. And when Pharaoh calls for Moses and Moses comes and he says, I want you to entreat the Lord for me. In other words, I need you to intercede for me here to get rid of these frogs. And of course, Moses is excited because he says, I'm going to let you go, let you serve God. And Moses is excited and said, when do you want me to do it? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Now, I want you to think about that. He's got an opportunity to have it happen immediately. Right now, it can happen for him. But he decides to wait till tomorrow. Now, think about it for a minute. Why would you want to wait one more night, sleep another night with frogs, have another meal that's probably frog infested, having the frogs on you, in your beds, in your bedchambers, in your houses? He says, tomorrow. Not tonight, not right now, tomorrow. But isn't that kind of the way we are? Aren't we so bad that we choose to wait? Think about it for a minute now. Why do we put things off till tomorrow? Right? Now, come on. You know, at least I'll say I do. You know, I'll say, well, I'll get that done tomorrow, or I'll do that tomorrow, or what, you know. And then, you know, usually tomorrow turns into tomorrow again. Right? You say tomorrow, but then tomorrow you say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. And then, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes tomorrow ends up being too late. Tomorrow ends up being too late. You just miss out. You know, and especially when it comes to doing things for God. When it comes to doing things for God, we should never put it off till tomorrow. Think about this for a minute, and we're going to look at some things here. In the book of Jonah, if you want to turn there, and we could read, but I'll just kind of, if it's okay, I'll paraphrase it to you. But God speaks to Jonah about going down to Nineveh. In chapter 1, he tells him, I want you to go down and cry out against that city because it's a wicked city, and tell them that in 40 days I'm going to destroy them. So the Bible says that Jonah goes down, but instead of getting on a ship that goes to Nineveh, he's heading toward Tarshish. He's going to try to hide from the presence of the Lord. In other words, he's procrastinating. He's putting off doing what God has told him to do, trying to get out of doing what God has told him to do. And he gets on the ship, and all of a sudden, a great storm comes up to the point that the people on the ship are wondering what's going on. They get everybody up on the deck along with Jonah. The Bible says they cast lots. I don't know if they drew straws, what, but anyway, it fell on Jonah. And they asked Jonah, they said, "What's going on? Why is this all coming on us because of you?" And he begins to tell them about God and tell them how he serves God and how God had told him to go down, you know, to Nineveh and cry against that. But instead, he's on their ship. And they said, "Well, what is it? What can we do?" And Jonah tells them and said, "Well, the best thing you can do is just throw me overboard." And the men don't want to throw him overboard because, you know, they don't want to shed the innocent blood. And so they start trying to paddle and row and trying to get the ship back to land. But they can't have any luck because this storm is of God and God's making sure that they're not getting to any safety. And finally, they just give up and they ask God, say, "God, don't hold his innocent blood against us." And they cast him over. They cast him off the ship. Things calm down. And God, the Bible says, has a great fish prepared that swallows up Jonah. Now, we know later on when you're reading in the New Testament, we find out that we're talking about a whale here. And while he's in the whale's belly, Jonah begins to come to his senses. As you're reading down through chapter 1, you'll find out he's going down into the belly of hell and, you know, the seaweed's wrapping around him. And literally, he's dying there. And he comes to himself and he begins to cry out to God, basically saying, "God, I deserve what I'm getting, but I'm asking you to have mercy on me. I don't want to die like this." And so what happens is that fish vomits him up on dry ground. Guess where that dry ground's at? Nineveh. Why? Because that's where God told him to go to in the first place. Now, you know, if he'd have did what God said and not procrastinated, he'd have got to Nineveh probably dry, without smelling like a bunch of guts, right? Without going through everything he had to go through and still end up being where God told him to go. See, here's the thing. If God tells you to do something, he wants you to do it. Amen. He's expecting you to do it. And he wouldn't tell you to do something that you're not able to do. Amen. He knew Jonah could do this. And if you read out the whole story of Jonah, Jonah begins to go into the city and cry out. They repented. The king makes a decree that everybody repents. They put on sackcloth and ashes, even on the animals. And God spares that whole city. Jonah gets mad because he spares the city and says, Didn't I tell you that you'd have mercy on them and not do what I was telling them to do? You see, he was more worried about what he looked like than sparing that whole city. I think sometimes that we procrastinate and don't do what God tells us to do because we're afraid of how we'll look in front of people. We're afraid of what somebody else might think, our peers, what they would think of us if we do what God tells us to do. You see, and so we have to be careful that we don't become like Pharaoh and put off till tomorrow what God's telling us to do today. Be like Jonah. Try to procrastinate and not get done what God wants. Listen, we are God's body here on this earth. We are his hands and feet. We are his mouth. And God uses you and I to get things done. And he expects us to be obedient to that. Amen. He doesn't want us putting it off till tomorrow. I'm really bad, especially when it comes to, you know, my wife will say, "We need to do this or we need to do that." It's cue for you, as you husbands know, when we need to do it, it's something I got to do. Can I get amen from the husbands? Come on now. You know, like we need to trim up our trees. Well, I know she's not trimming up trees. That means me, right? Come on now. Duh. You know. But it's okay because we two are one, so she can say we. But, you know, and I'm really bad to say, "Yeah, well, I'll get that done. I'll get that done." She's got a lamp post that's out there and out by her steps. And I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, she told me, "I need you to concrete me a pad and concrete that in out there." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that." I've gotten concrete 2 different times. It got hard because I didn't use it. You know, I had to throw the concrete away. And, you know, I've got good intentions, right? I mean, sooner or later, I will get it done. but I keep putting it off. You know? And I don't want to just keep on putting it off. I've got to get it done because I told her I'd get it done. Because if I don't get it done, it'll never get done. And there's some things in our life that we need to quit putting off and just go ahead and get it done. And as I said, if you're not careful, sometimes we can put things off till it's too late. Amen. So we have to watch yourself. And you realize, you know, and some of you looking at me a little funny, but for you younger folks, you don't realize what I'm talking about when I say if God's telling you to do something now, don't wait till it's too late. Or if there's something that needs to be done, you need to go ahead and get it done before it's too late. I'm not even talking about you dying. I'm just talking about, you know, if you want to play some basketball, you better play now. Right? Come on now. If you like taking good long hikes, you might want to do it now. Amen. And you say, well, why would you say that? Well, just wait. Just give it a few years and you'll understand. I've learned great lessons since I've been in this church. And I've learned a lot of them from Brother D and Brother Bill and some of the gentlemen that are older than me. Not a whole lot older, but they're older than me. But I didn't really realize what 10 years could mean. Or 20 years. And so while they would help me work, and they're retired from pipe fitting and they've worked hard all their lives, and they would come up here and, I mean, very, very faithful. Very, very faithful to be up here. Anytime I mentioned coming, they'd come. They'd drop what they were doing and come. And we were working, you know, I'm in my 30s and 40s, okay? And we would work, and we'd start early in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, come along. I'm still going, and I still got, you know, this time of year, you still got 4 hours till dark at least, right? And Brother D would look at me and say, Pastor, isn't it about time we go home? Brother D, it's just 5 o'clock. We can work another 4 hours. And he'd say, you might can, but I can't. And I didn't understand that because I felt great at that age. I could go on, and a lot of times he didn't want to go because he didn't want to leave me up here. But then that way he had to go sometimes. And I know what he feels like now. I have big intentions sometimes. I get up on and I tell Pastor, I'm going to go out and do this, this, and this, and this. And I go outside and I'm out a while and I come back in. She said, what you doing back in the house? I'll do that tomorrow. Because you just in your mind you still can. Okay? And I think sometimes we get in our mind that we'll just wait, but we shouldn't wait. We need to go ahead and get some things done. Especially, now listen to me, especially when it comes to doing things for the Lord. Don't put it off. Go ahead and do what God tells you to do. Because He wouldn't have told you if He didn't want it done. And He wouldn't have told you to do it if He didn't think that you could do it. But we still, you know, I think sometimes we think that we can't do it. And that's why we procrastinate. But you see, you've got to understand, it's God in you, working through you. And so if He told you, you can. Amen. And so we can't forget that. Now, I think sometimes we don't do things because we feel like, I put about three things here. First was, you know, God, we didn't know that we could do it, but God, of course, wouldn't tell us as if we could. And then I talked about the fact that sometimes I think we have pride in our life. We worried about what other people say, what they're going to do, and what, that kind of thing, you know. And then sometimes I think that we put things off because we feel like what we're doing now is more important than what God wants us to do. You know, I'm doing this in my life right now. I've got this I got to do, God. I do it, God, but, And so we start kind of making excuses for why we won't go ahead or why we're putting things off. But if we go over and look in the Word of God, and we'll go look at this in Luke chapter 14. Jump over here with me. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 16 here. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make an excuse. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of his house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I want you to see here, many, many were invited to come to this supper that's made. Now, if you don't understand what's going on here, this is a parable of the kingdom of God. This is a parable of the Lord making ready for us. He has made ready for us the supper by giving us the Lord Jesus Christ as our sacrificial lamb. Understand that. So here many are invited. Every person, whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. God has made it so anybody that will come can come. So many, many are invited, but notice some made excuses. Now, you know, if you can make an excuse. We always find excuses for things, and you can make up excuses. But truthfully is, most of the time the excuse is just is something to help you do something you didn't want to do so you can do something else. Come on now, because the truth is we do what we want to do. Come on now. We don't make excuses for stuff we want to do. Come on. You know, a lot of folks used to, I don't hear it much anymore because, you know, it just don't fly. But used to you hear people, well, Pastor, I wasn't there Sunday, but my heart was with you. No, Jesus said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in other words, you'll be where you want to be. Come on now. Let's not, you know, I understand there are some situations. Somebody gets sick, has to go to the doctor. I get that. But I'm saying for the most part, we always do what we want to do. So making excuses is really just kind of lame. And excuses don't fly with God. I'll show that to you in just a few minutes. But they had excuses. But I want you to notice, though, those that had excuses, those that did not come, the Lord said, they're not going to get the taste of my supper. Because they didn't come when I bade them to come, they're not going to get it. Now, there's another parable very similar to this where there's a wedding supper, the son of one of the other Gospels, to where the same thing happens. But all of a sudden, at the end of it, when the Lord comes and looks around, there's somebody there without having a wedding garment on. He said, how'd you get in here, friend? And because he wasn't part of the group that were invited, and he came when he was supposed to, but later tried to sneak in, he says, cast him out into outer darkness. You see, if we don't move when God tells us to move, we can end up getting cast out into outer darkness. So you're looking at me real funny. Here's the thing. Again, excuses don't fly with God. We don't have a good reason, not one, or one good excuse, not one, to not do what God tells us to do or move when He tells us to move. Amen. Listen, He made us. He owns us. Come on, think about it for a minute. But we feel like, you know, I've got this to do and I've got that to do. I've got all this living to do. Well, what about when you die? What are you going to do about that? Because it's much more important to know how you're dying than how good you're living. I better say that one more time because that didn't click over with a lot of you. It's much, much better to know how you're dying than to know how good you're living now. Come on, I mean, you know, I could give you, you know, the Lazarus and the rich man. Right? Remember Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man lived sumptuously every day. I mean, he had what he wanted to eat. He wanted for nothing. But Lazarus, the beggar, laid outside the gate, just begging for the crumbs from his table. And the only ones that loved him was the dogs. they would come and lick his sores. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, which was the paradise side of Hades at that time. And it said the rich man died also, and he was tormented in flame in hell. And he was able to look over into the paradise side and see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, would you please send Lazarus that he may dip his tongue in water and cool my parched tongue? Father Abraham said, remember in your lifetime, you had it good, he had it bad. Now he's got it good and you got it bad. So you see, it's so much better. I would rather die with the Lord than to live with the devil. I want to spend my eternity with the Lord. This life here, as much as we enjoy it, and I enjoy my life because Jesus said I can have a full, prosperous, great life here on this earth. But it compares in no way to how great it's going to be in heaven. You'd be better off being a pauper and just barely getting by here and still gain heaven than if you had everything here and went to hell. And see, that's why it's so hard to get people to see. And one of the reasons for that is we look and we don't see everything immediately. We see it out in the future. One of these days. Tomorrow. Right? Come on, if there was immediate retribution for our sin, I mean immediately we received the recompense for it, we wouldn't sin. Come on, you would. If you immediately, as soon as you sinned, you was punished for it, that'd make you think twice, right? I mean, anybody ever walk up and touch an electric fence? If you have it, you ought to try it sometime. It's a real eye-opener. Hey, that baby's got power on it. After you get through going, oh, it hurts. Well, you know, what if it was like touching an electric fence every time we sin? We wouldn't be touching much sin, would we? No, we wouldn't. But see, we in our minds, we put it off because we don't see the immediate recompense for it. It's the same way with hell. People keep putting heaven off because they don't see the immediate torment that's going to come from hell. But I promise you, if there's a real heaven, there's a real hell. Amen. And it's our job while we're still on this earth, when the Lord calls us, to move when He calls. Answer that call. Why in the world would you want to put off heaven so that you could have a little while longer in hell? And I know this sounds hard and it sounds harsh, but listen, we have to look at this thing. We have to understand this thing. And I'm going to tell you something. You think, well, you know, I will. But I'm going to tell you something. Time gets away from you. We're going on our 27th year here in this building. And I look around and I'm like, where did time go? You know, but then I start looking around at people in the church here. And I look around at people that didn't even have a kid whenever they started in this church. And now they've got grown kids that are married, and some of the kids have got kids, and it's just, you're like, look how fast that went. And so you have to look and see how fast time goes by so that you understand, I can't put that off till tomorrow. For one reason is there might not be a tomorrow. Amen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord could come and get all the church. But also in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, somebody that thought they had their whole life to live, their life could end in a car accident. People that feel like they've got a long life and healthy as they can be. I know people that worked out, ate right, and fell dead of a heart attack just like that at a young age. See, so you've got to understand, when we look like that and we're putting off because of what we think, we've got to understand we've got right now. Right now we know what we've got. And we can't procrastinate. We can't wait. We can't have an excuse. Now, let me read you another scripture here. If you would, go with me over to Romans. We've been talking about excuses and and that kind of thing. In Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20 here. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Let me give that to you from the New Living Testament. It says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature." Can we not look around and see that there is a God? I mean, you just look at the way everything is made and how it's working. You know, and I understand we have idiots out there that try to tell us this is all an accident and everything that's happened is just because of evolution and all that. Right? And they don't understand that what the Word of God says, that God created everything. We did not, you know, start out with a tail and lose the tail and look like monkeys and, you know, go from monkeys and, you know. But that's what evolution says. No, the Bible says that God created man in His likeness and His image. Amen. And so we can look around and understand and see, you know. And yeah, I know there's those people that are thinking, you know, and I won't get into preaching on it, but they're like, they found these, they look like men and they look like ape-like creatures. And, you know, most of them really don't know anything about the pre-Adamic age that got corrupted because Satan was their God here on this earth. So you're looking at me funny. They don't understand some of that stuff. How, you know, you got to understand sin corrupts us and evil and that kind of thing. Has anybody ever really, have you seen pictures of before and after meth? I mean, I've seen beautiful girls that later on, after a while on meth, you don't even recognize them. Same way with men. I mean, it does something to the body. And that's what that corruption did during the time of Satan's rule. They followed him and they followed him to their destruction. And it was on this earth. So naturally, there was some remains, and they found some of that. But they can't put two and two together. They're trying to find the missing link for man, where we went from that to where we are now. Well, you know, I mean, you know, if you want to believe in evolution, you know, as things change, then you evolve. And I've said this before, you know, we've gotten much smarter, I think. Some of us have. There's still some of them that's kind of stuck. But you know, if evolution makes room for what is. Okay? According to them, evolution is, you know, you came out of the sea, you were breathing water, and you got on the land, now you're breathing air. You had to develop in some way. You know, if you're getting smarter, your brain would be bigger and your head would be growing. Right? I realize some folks got some big heads, but it's not because of evolution. Okay? Don't be looking at nobody. But you have all that. We can look around and see that there's a God. Come on, we watch the sun rise, we watch the sunset. You go out and look at the oceans and, you know, the ocean stays where the ocean's supposed to be. There is a God that's in control of everything. He created everything. We can see that by looking at it. But let's read on. Let me go on with this. "So they have no excuse for not knowing God." In other words, they can see that there's a God by looking at everything. "And they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideals of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Can I tell you, we're not smarter than God. We're not smarter than God. So if God tells us to do something, we need to do it. We may think we know better, but we don't. God always knows better. One more scripture and we'll close this thing out. Hebrews chapter 3, talking about not putting things off till tomorrow, not waiting, not procrastinating. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore that he should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, he's talking here again about Numbers 13. He's talking about when God told them to spy out the promised land. I've given you that. Go take the land. And they came back with the evil report saying, we're not able to take it. There's giants. There's all the ites over there. And now that's going on. So here, the Bible is telling us that because they didn't do what God told them to do, it was called unbelief. And because of their unbelief, they didn't get to enter into their promised land. So what I want us to understand is we don't have any excuses to procrastinate or put off till tomorrow or wait, because when we don't do what God's telling us to do, if He's speaking to us today, then what we're doing is we're in unbelief. That's what the Bible calls it, by not obeying what God says to do. So I want us just to start thinking about right now, and I want you to stand with me. And I want us to just meditate. What is it that God wants you to do? What's He been telling you to do? And I want you to think about how He's told you to do it and what He's telling you, and just get that in your heart. If you're here and you're lost, I know God's already told you you need to be saved. I know that. I don't have to guess about it because He loves you that much. He won't allow. He doesn't want you to stay unsaved. He wants you to obey and become a born-again child of God. He wants you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so you have that choice today. If you're here, you're backslidden, you can rededicate your life. You have that choice. But it's today. It's right now. And it's so important that we don't put Him off. We don't say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Well, I'm going to do it now. I plan on doing that. You don't know if you've got another breath past right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask right now, Father God, that You stir us in our hearts for the things that You've been telling us to do and the things that You want us to do, that we don't procrastinate, Father, that we don't wait, that we don't put it off, that we don't make excuse. Father, that we just obey Your voice and do the things that You've called us to do and told us to do. Lord, that You'll get glory out of our lives. And Father, that we ensure ourselves a place in heaven with You. And we give You praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you need us to pray with you.